where the rubber meets the road, so to speak, is when you go in to get that shot. But getting there, behind all of this, it turns out that there are some very, very interesting interlocking webs among some big players, aren't there?
That is correct, Stan. It's nice to be here. So we have two different technologies that are used in manufacturing. One is the messenger ribonucleic acid, mRNA method, and the other one is the viral vector, which is basically creating the virus and converting it to inactive viruses and then injecting it with that, which is primarily Johnson & Johnson. And mRNA method is used by Pfizer, BioNTech, as well as Moderna. So these are two different technologies, but in terms of the ingredients that you are talking about, they are very similar ingredients, such as lipids, salts, sugar, sucrose in this case, acids, particularly acetic acid, and some of the acid stabilizers. So these are the same ingredients that we have in making the vaccine, just using different methodologies.
So we think if we get the shot of a Pfizer or a Johnson & Johnson, but behind those brands and behind their development of the vaccine are all these supplies you just mentioned. Where do those come from?
They come from different places. Some of it is produced in the United States, and majority of it is produced in the United States, EU, UK, Japan, China. So those are different places for those. You know, salts and sugar, you can get it in many places, right? Acids. So it's not like, you know, it cannot be done in another geography. But there are certain things that we rely on that are more geography dependent. So I'll give an example. In the case of these viral vector, like Johnson & Johnson vaccines, there is an ingredient called adjuvant, which basically helps the inoculated inactive virus to get a reaction in the system so that, you know, we can develop the antibodies. In that situation, an adjuvant comes from two different sources, shark liver fat and also soap bark trees, which are only grown in Bolivia and Chile. So naturally, those are more geography-dependent ingredients, but a majority of them can be obtained in other geographies.
Should we be concerned because of this and the potential for a dispute to erupt between countries that might interrupt this supply chain?
At the moment, no, because of the fact that even in the case of adjuvant that I mentioned to you, which is obviously a smaller source compared to other ingredients, even in that case, for example, Novavax is producing the synthetic version of the adjuvant. So what we see is that science is helping replicating some of these ingredients in a much faster way without completely relying on the biological sources of these ingredients. So at the moment, we're not so much concerned about that. And the capacity is being built for inoculating the entire world population. We're estimating in 2022, we're going to be reaching 19 billion doses. But, you know, you also have issues associated with production technology. So I'll give an example. In the case of AstraZeneca and Johnson & Johnson, we're using a third-party manufacturing facility called Emergent Technologies, a Maryland-based company, So which is great in theory. These two vaccines use the same platform of manufacturing, viral vector manufacturing methodology. But what happens is, even though they are produced in the same facility, one didn't go through in terms of the quality issues, then it might influence the other vaccine as well. There's already a lot of negative publicity on AstraZeneca, which is not a vaccine that's approved in the United States for use. But that basically creates a little bit of hurdle for those kinds of vaccines. But aside from that, I think we have enough capability to do that, and I am confident that by the end of 2022, we will be able to get a majority of the world population to be inoculated.
Thanks for your time this morning, Dr. Barak Kazaz, Professor of Supply Chain Management at Syracuse University.